All right, so last week we actually got into, I think, this first qualification that deals with reputation. We've talked about character traits, things like being holy and similar things to that. We want to talk about now reputation. And we talked this about this person who is blameless, one who no charge can be laid hold of them. And we said, remember we said, doesn't mean a man is sinless, but that he is not one who dwells in sin, and he corrects things, and he is one who is striving always to be one who is blameless, who has nothing put to him. So we talked about that. We asked these questions, you know, why is it important that an elder be blameless? Somebody want to rehash that one? Why is it important that an elder be blameless? What's significant about that? Anybody? That's right. He'll be blamed. An elder will be blamed for things. But yet, in the idea of reputation, how he is viewed and how his actions are, is he is not one who someone can throw blame at and it causes a problem with his ability to lead as such. Okay? So, of good report. You know, as we talk about these ones in reputation too, and we're going to get to some more that are, I think, very vital. These are all very important. Every one we need to consider. And some that we struggle with really considering that, I think, as humans, as Christians, dealing with these. But of good report, 1 Timothy 3:7, we see the Greek word there. Strong says record, report, testimony, or witness. Couple of versions there. New King James American Standard says testimony. New American Standard says reputation. New Revised Standard says well thought of. And so the idea here, and the quote I've got here, the community at large must recognize his integrity and acknowledge his solid character, even if they disagree with his doctrinal views. And so we're dealing with when people from outside see this man. How do they feel about him? How does he act, and what do they think about him? Do they have a good report about him? Or do they, because maybe the way he acts and treats them or other people, they don't have a good report? And this is, you notice this is irregardless of what they believe or agree with him on doctrine or scripture. So I had this sort of question statement. If a man is well reported, and read this with me, if a man is well reported of in the congregation, but not well thought of out in the world, what could that reflect about a man? Look, all right, it could reflect he's two different people. What I had over here, yeah. Okay, but is that necessarily the case? Maybe somebody doesn't really like them. You talk to somebody in the world that knows or works with someone and they don't really like them for not a right reason. Could it be that maybe they're the ones that have the problem? So you got to be careful with that. Larry? This makes it very important, again, going back to the point we made last week, of we've got to know the man. If we just know him for 2 hours on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday night, can we really know that man? And this is important to be able to gauge some things, but again, we should know him more than that. Jake. That's right. And again, I was going back over my lesson today, and I said, you know, this question, I got to really emphasize this could, because we recognize that we may be talking to somebody who is an ungodly, unspiritual person that just is negative toward that person or a lot of people. How could this affect the work of an elder? Can it affect it? I mean, this may be just a thought question for you, but That's very true. Jordan?
And the rest of the verse, he goes on to say, lest he fall into reproach. And I'm assuming that's talking about within the church, because the people outside in this verse already reproach him.
Yeah.
It must be saying that if the people outside already look poorly upon him and everything, if he's appointed to an elder, that can spread inside the church. And it says, and the snare of the devil is upon him. And so that's a fault upon him. And so it can lead into the church and affect much more than just his soul or can affect his own work.
Yeah, can I point to Larry's lesson Sunday night? You know, if you have worldly elders who are worldly, what does that do for the church? It affects it. Bruce? And then... Yeah. Charles?
When it comes to the work of an elder, when you did this in the context of the last idea that they're blameless, what disqualification could the point seem to say is that you can't stay in the middle, you can't just be someone who lost a lot, you have to be proactive and well. That would definitely get back to the work that they need to
do. Yeah, and that all goes back to the character, too, we've already talked about, what he is. Okay. Oh. All right. Jimmy? Okay, all right. Given to hospitality. You know, we see in part of this Greek word, we see sort of part of that Philadelphia love idea, I think, in my limited or not much knowledge of Greek. Literally, Clark says, literally a lover of strangers. One who is ready to receive into his house and relieve every necessitous stranger. How does that differ from what we typically think of as hospitality? We think of hospitality as, you know, I'm having this people over to my house, or I'm taking these people out to people I know, but it really even, it goes way beyond that. Not a sense of duty, but a desire, a love of being hospitable. You know, there's some people that are hospitable because they just make themselves, but you know, somebody that you see by their example, they want to be hospitable. They love that. What does that say about someone who is that way? About his feelings toward others? He cares about them. Tim? Yes, yes. So what does this look like? Can you paint a picture of what it looks like to be hospitable? I mean, I think you can't paint one picture. There's a lot of different ways we can be that, right? What are your thoughts about that? Anybody have any specific thoughts about that?
Jesus painted a pretty good picture
of the Good Samaritan. Yes, yes. That's the great example. Man beaten up, neglected. All of his countrymen pass by on the other side, ignore him, and then this Samaritan who is, you know, a half-breed and who nobody would even want to talk to takes him, not just cleans him up, but takes care of him for a long period of time while he's away. Other thoughts?
Taking care of others without expecting a return.
Yes, that's a great point. You know, I think we all struggle with this when somebody, say for example, somebody invites us over for a meal. We think, well, I gotta invite them back. When am I going to do that? Is that what this is about? No, you do things as the Good Samaritan did. He didn't expect anything in return. What else? Not a brawler. Now, we got another word we're going to talk about that's similar, but a little different, which is striker, not a striker. Not quarrelsome, not contentious, but peaceable, from these three different translations. Barnes says, should not be a man given to contention or apt to take up a quarrel. The Greek is literally not disposed to fight. And then another quote I found, this is not to be understood that an elder is to abstain from contending earnestly for the faith, as referenced in Jude 3, Acts 15, 2, but he must not be one to battle and wrangle over opinions and self-interest. So what is this saying? You know, we think the word brawler, somebody's, you know, he's just out there fighting. What is this really meaning? Today, what does it mean? Larry?
Their social media and email exchanges look a certain way.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily a physical fight. It's how we react to things, how we engage in things, that we're always almost trying to pick a fight. Ryan? Yes. I want to be careful how I say this. I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about anybody here, because I'm not. But I want to ask the question. Do you know of a Christian who, based on this definition, could be considered a brawler? I think we all do. We probably know some people like that. They're always wanting to argue, always wanting to contend on something. Sometimes things that don't really matter. A brawler is a noisy fellow. Again, that reminds me of some people I know. One who is ready to fight physically or with words. That's what we just said. So again, why is this characteristic important that an elder not be a brawler in this definition? Why is that important?
Very offensive.
Very offensive. How will you help someone? How will you resolve something if you're always in contention with something? Or somebody sees you that way and they think, well, if I take this to them, how are they going to react? Yeah. Okay, Jordan?
Earlier in the book, it seems like this is a theme through 1 Timothy, but in chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which cause disputes, which to me sounds like the same sort of thing. Someone who's very interested in stories that may or may not be true, or whose family would include what members and what they did. It says, which causes disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Because I think that's a big thing Paul's trying to point out here, is that it
right.
Totally distracts from the point of godly leaders at all, which is godly edification of faith. And whenever you're dealing with stories that may or may not be true, or any sort of drama or anything else, that's not your job.
Yeah, great point, because what should the attitude of a man who is an elder be? He should be godly. He should be encouraging rather than being negative and trying to, in some ways, pick a fight. Reagan, do you have something?
Part of that is the reflection of the long-suffering and patience that the elder has to have, because he does have to, you know, resolve disputes between members. And Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And so the elder has to have that skill. And that is where he's able to resolve issues not only for himself, but for the
Yeah. If I could paraphrase, really this is the opposite of being long-suffering and patient. And as an elder, that's something you've got to be. Long-suffering. You've got to be understanding and patient. Okay, did I see any other hands? I might have missed. Like, Larry? Okay. Chris?
I can really see how this applies to all of us, and it brings me to 1 Peter 3:15, where we're told that we need to be ready to give defense for the hope that is in us, specifically when we present it to him in fear, with meekness and respect, both for those that we're talking with and for the subject matter that we have there.
Okay, good. Jimmy?
Yeah, I was going to point out, being the only one is just one level of someone's call, but be serious. In God's wisdom, just like we were talking about in the speech, like that, this call is so important because so many times when the elders get involved, it's because we've made a mess of things. Right? That member has really, he's just made a mess of things. And so what does he need or what does she need at that point? Do they need somebody, like Larry said, that has the first word and the last word, or somebody that's going to really, in a very humble way, listen to what's going on and try to help them get back on the right track? A brawler doesn't do that. A brawler jumps in, starts screaming, pull the china shop, let's get this over with, and let's move on. You need a man that's going to take the time to listen and be open to it, and not give it to just, swing it again.
Larry? Right, and when we look at a man and his family, that's a key thing to look for, is how he is in the home. Okay, Ryan. Everybody hear that? Hurting people hurt people. As an elder, instead of, striking out in a figurative sense even, you've got to be willing and able to take the things that are thrown at you, the things you might be attacked. You will be attacked. In certain ways, many times, unbeknownst to the one attacking you, not realizing what they're doing, and you have to be able to take that. You have to be able to deal with that and work with that. Okay. Good conversation, good discussion. I think helps us think about reputation. We can see these things in a man, and we should be able to. All right, so the next two, okay. Am I dead here? Okay. Quickly, not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, the very bottom it says, this word is really not in many of the main manuscripts that we would use, but it is in the translations. But it's covered under covetousness, and we'll talk about that. But this idea of not greedy, of filthy lucre, very similar to covetousness. Thayer says, eager for base gain, greedy for money. Greedy of base gain, excessive desire for wealth, and ungodly or base methods of obtaining it. And so there's the idea in that we see mentioned in some translations. So let's look at not covetous. No lover of money without covetousness. The attitude toward wealth is involved in covetousness, not wealth alone. So what does that say? That's saying, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with a man or someone being wealthy, right? It's their attitude toward that wealth. But then we're going to talk about the flip side of that involved in this too. So does this exclude a wealthy man from serving as an elder? Well, no, surely. We understand that. How could this exclude someone who is not wealthy? How could this exclude someone who is not wealthy? Right. That's right. And that, again, we should be able to see that in a man. Hopefully we can see that. So can you think of any problems that one who is covetous could create for a congregation? What are some things that that could create as a man who serves as an elder, right? What else, Larry? That's very true. Even favoritism toward themselves. He's not going to have the desire to serve the congregation as he should. Okay. I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah. Be influenced by someone coming in from without. Anything else? What's that? Irrational thought of power, yeah. And that's, you know, in a position as a shepherd or an elder, you can, you know, have that thought of having power. Josh?
Is there something in the Greek here that pairs this word covet with money? Because covetousness is not paired with money throughout Scripture all the time.
Right. That's right. That's right. And that's true, very true. We are focusing more on money, but you're right. We can covet a variety of things. We could probably not stop tonight by naming a list of things we could covet. You know, the Israelites were said, you know, told, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Those kind of things. Jordan? Sorry, excuse me. I'm sorry. My phone just started playing. And my phone's on silent. I don't know why it started playing. I'm sorry. But Jordan, that's a great point. an elder or an eldership can be influenced by others that they don't want to hurt or hurt their feelings because of a decision they have to make. That is a big thing. That is a problem that we as men face, as human beings face. Mark?
An elder could also, he's got to have a desire for the job. You also could cover the preeminence. There are others in the Bible that have a desire for preeminence around the brother, with the brother. So he's one to do it, but not for the focus of him, but for the service.
Yes, and again, of course, we pointed that some of that out as desiring the office, and you know, you could a person can let something like that go to their head very quickly, and that's a problem that is created, and it's going to filter through the church, like Larry mentioned a few minutes ago, in other areas. So we got to be careful about who we are looking at to make sure they are not those type of men. All right. So now we get to not a striker, similar to not a brawler, different word, a bruiser, Thayer says, ready for a blow, a pugnacious, contentious, quarrelsome person. A couple of translations says not violent, not pugnacious. Pugnacious is not a word in my normal vocabulary, even though I can pronounce it. So I figured, well, I'll put it up at least for me. Eager, quick to argue or fight. So, you know somebody who's quick on the draw? Somebody challenges them and they're going to jump right in their face? They're going to challenge that person?
My way or the highway.
That's another good way to put it, yeah. My way or the highway. A man who is always ready to fight those who are against him. One who strikes back with a blow. An overbearing person who reacts out of anger. Do we see the source of that type of action, I think?
To me, it's different from a brawler, because a brawler, it to me sounds more like somebody who's always ready to fight, and a striker kind of sounds more like somebody who's always looking for a fight.
Yeah, I think that's very true. An elder must be peaceable and level-headed. Must not be too quick on the trigger, not always ready to take offense and fight, physically or verbally. I've seen things in my lifetime. I know Larry has mentioned many times about seeing situations in a church erupt into fist fights. That's wrong in and of itself. But it's not just the physical side, it's that verbal side where someone's ready and wanting to attack. Again, as I said earlier, do we know anybody like that? And I know we do. We know people like this. Someone like this has no place serving as a shepherd of the flock. You know, that's not the way you protect the flock. Again, we said, how does it compare to brawler? You know, we've already had one idea. I believe that's right. In what circumstances could this characteristic be revealed? Got any ideas? Yeah. Or how about they're accusing you strongly about something. Larry?
Obviously, this is not being followed in Genesis 1:19, where it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Probably they don't have the proper, how can I say, brakes on their tongue. I think we've all had immediate thoughts that we said, I'm sure glad I didn't say anything.
So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Josh. No, it's okay. No.
I was just thinking, it takes me back to my dating days when I was trying to find a spouse. And I didn't always date everyone. I could find out a lot about them by just hanging out with the group. But you didn't learn how they were going to treat their children by hanging out with the group. You could learn how they were going to treat their children by maybe how they interacted with people who are younger, or maybe how they interacted with their parents. You could find out different characteristics about them, not by the things that they were going to do, but by the things that they were doing then. This one, I think of how somebody might react or act at a football game, or how somebody might act or react in line at the grocery store, or how somebody might act or react in the traffic jam, or how somebody might act or react in certain situations that would cause them to snap real fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And
very good. Other thoughts? Ranson?
Characteristics are going to come into play how the elders interact with one another. Because God in his wisdom gave a plurality of elders. And I'm sure when y'all are considering everything, it's not always easy to come to the judgment.
Yeah.
And if a man is a striker or a lot of these characteristics, how would he interact with other elders when they might have a different point of view?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is the end of the reputation qualifications that we had to work with and included there. And of course, really won't do justice to get in, and I sort of had prepared in case we didn't get much further than this, just to sort of go back and recap and refresh our memories, you know, the importance of these ideas of characteristics that affect reputation and character. And so it just reminded us a couple things. When we talk about character, here's those qualifications, those things that we talked about here: desire of the office, holy, just, patient, or gentle, good behavior, love of good. So when you think about that, and you think about character, what does that mean? Well, character is one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish an individual. So it's something to do about me. Moral excellence and firmness. A man of sound, we hear that phrase, a man of sound character. Another thing I think about that is, you know, you have a character witness in a trial. What does that person do? He's speaking to that person's character, who they are. Reputation, name, a good name, respect of admiration or lack thereof, what others think of you. What a man is in the dark will reflect in his daily walk of life and in his dealing with others. And here's a couple of passages to think about. Well, we can always go to the Proverbs. Proverbs 10:9, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. People will see that. 1 Samuel 16:7. Remember when Samuel was going to go find the next king after Saul? He goes, you know, and he ends up finding David when he didn't think that's who it was. Here's what God says to Samuel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see a man as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. These are the things that are deep in a man. And again, here's those ideas. And then reputation, what a man is to others, as we just talked about. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, they see, glorify God in the day of visitation. So we have the idea of reputation. And so, and the last one, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, I think that's the second bell. Thank you for your attention. Great comments. Hope this has been beneficial for your thinking. Next